How did Ajahn Chah speak about non-self and consciousness? Well, he spoke about it all the time. I mean, this is it's a fundamental basis. I mean, for a Buddhist practice, Buddhist teacher to be paying attention to this non-self aspect, because it's a foundational piece of the understanding of this is the true nature of things, and that what we perceive as self, as me, as mine, is a construct that keeps changing all the time. And what is more interesting, or is the yeah the and it's not even so much the letting go of self as the recognition that that sense of self didn't exist in the first place. It didn't. That's the, and as in the Buddha's teachings, the Buddha points to different forms of grasping or clinging. And one of the forms of grasping and clinging is in the Pali language, attawad upadana. So that it's, upadana is clinging or grasping, atta is self, but it's attawada, and it's sort of like the assumption of self. It's not that we grasp at a real and existent self. We grasp after an assumption. And as long as we keep grasping after assumptions and beliefs in something that doesn't exist, then we're chasing after things that don't really have a substance. And of course we, and that doesn't mean we're somehow bereft and left with nothing. Actually, what we're left with is awareness and wisdom. And that's much more of a refuge than some ephemeral idea of self. And so it's an important distinction to sort of see, well, what am I? Because oftentimes, what if I let go of self, what'll I be? Who will be there? And, well, you were, I'm sure, I assure you, you'll still be there. But, maybe not with as much clinging, which leads to a lot more happiness and well-being. So it's a, and in terms of consciousness, I mean, that's a slippery word in English, because it has so many nuances of meaning, and you don't have that in I mean, one of the beauties of the Thai language, that it is wonderfully imprecise. And and in English there's a propensity to define everything, objectify everything. Everything has to have an object. So that the everything tends to be concretized in the English. So then, say, consciousness then becomes very much a something, but it's more of a activity that has a function. And in Buddhism, in the say the Pali Buddhism, then the say the function of consciousness is a function of knowing, and in general, the basic relationship to consciousness is the consciousness of the sense bases. Sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, mental objects. And there's consciousness of those things. That's the your basic sort of consciousness. But then the Buddha also talks about a say, an unestablished consciousness as well. And that's a place where there is a freedom from suffering. And it says, vinyanang anidasanang anantang sabadobabang. It's unestablished, immeasurable, radiant all around. That's a nature of consciousness. And it's very interesting, like in, and again, as I said, in the Thai language, there's just, and Thai sensibility, you just don't need to define things so tightly. And because it's a feeling language, and it's one of the things we're not so good at in English is actually feeling things. We can think a lot, which is not really the same. this sense of getting a feel for things and letting things take shape. I was one time talking with the he was the head of the English Sangha Trust, and he's the person who invited Ajahn Chah, made the invitation to Ajahn Chah to go to England in order to hopefully establish a monastery, which of course has happened. And he was recounting to me a time when he was talking with Ajahn Chah, and he said, "Hey, you seem to, when you teach meditation and talk about Buddha all the time. You know, why do you put so much emphasis on Buddha?" And because in especially in Thai, I've talked about it this morning as a meditation tool, just for helping to anchor the breath, but then also as a name of the Buddha and recollecting the qualities of the Buddha, so that and the qualities revolve around three particular aspects in the sense of knowing, awake, and being radiant, but Miss George Sharp was his name. George was pressing Ajahn Chah. You know, why do you teach Buddha all the time? He said, you know, basically, you know, why don't you teach something more than that? And Ajahn Chah's response was just Namo Vijnana Dhatu, which is homage to the element of consciousness. Which is a sort of set George back on his heels. It's hard to get him to stop asking questions or talking. But it was sort of, oh, this importance of consciousness as a fundamental and element. Dhatu is element, and this element of this, it's an element of nature. The just the ability of the human consciousness to know, to experience, and of course within that knowing, when it is not tainted with any kind of clinging or bias, there is a freedom from suffering, and so just this clear knowing is your doorway into liberation and doorway into freedom. So that just that simple statement, homage to the element of consciousness, and not having to explain everything totally and just leaving it at that.